Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
It's Mac and Bone Radio.
Granny Pat brings us into the bathtub.
Mac Attack is too loud.
Friday, Friday, everybody loves a Friday.
And on that note, we're underway on a Friday, ladies and gentlemen. Mac and Bone with you. Flounder, hold it down, as he always does. Back in the studio on FNZ. We got to rock and roll today, man. We've got to do it. Panthers finish up their, I guess they had conditioning drills yesterday. They are off until training camp late July in Spartanburg. But we've got stuff to do. We got Panthers conversations to have. We got some baseball to talk today. The Braves are sizzling after they have a streak going of one in a row after last night's shutout win. They actually tossed a shutout last night. Charlie Morton was amazing last night for the Braves in a 4-0 win. We have a Game 7 coming up this weekend between the Nets and the Bucks. After the Bucks got it done, Middleton was unbelievable. We're definitely going to talk about that here in a matter of minutes. And we've got the U.S. Open underway. Some interesting names.
Phil?
Of the leaderboard. Phil is not one of them at the top of the leaderboard. Why were people trying to take those camera phone shots of Phil and messed up his round yesterday? More on that coming up here in a couple of minutes as well. Mac and Bone getting you going in the morning. By the way, LaMelo Ball, another honor yesterday, unanimously voted to the NBA first team all-rookie team. So the hits keep on coming for LaMelo after his rookie season. We are ready to rock and roll. We got a little college ACC football. We're going to talk today on the show, start previewing the ACC season even more. And we got some fun Ask the Audience questions. I wish we didn't have to do it under the circumstances. As a salute to the great Price's Chicken Coop, which will close tomorrow. Unbelievable. Lines wrapping around the block yesterday once the word got out that this Charlotte cuisine institution and the great fried chicken will be no more as of Saturday. So we will salute them on today's show with some fun. Ask the Audience questions. All right, man, let's do this. Flounder's in the house. Bone Man, you are in the house. What's up, Bone?
Good morning. The Charlotte Comfort Systems temperature right now, 61 degrees. Get a full system tune-up for $89 with Charlotte Comfort Systems at CharlotteComfortSystems.com. We're also sponsored this segment by Napa Auto Parts. Whether it's next day delivery or getting involved in their local communities, Napa goes above and beyond to serve you because their motor never quits. That's Napa know-how. I was able to DVR Charlotte Sports Live last night, Matt. Good job on there. You had Will Kunkel and Josh Sims on there last night. Josh Sims has avoided me now for like the last seven times I've been on there. But you got both Will Kunkel. You got Will Kunkel and Josh Sims on there. And I've got a problem with the whole crew there. Because you're on there. You did a great job last night. And you did the thing where you ended up having to show your jump shot form on there. A beautiful, majestic jump shot. Right? It's like what Ken Griffey Jr. was to swings of a baseball bat. You are to jump shooting. And these guys are terrorizing your form. And it's happened before when people see a video of you shooting a basketball, they get on your form. And I've got your back on this. That's your bread and butter. That shot right there got you into Sports Talk Radio.
I feel like it's pure, baby. I feel like it's pure from about 12 feet. Yeah, you know, no further at this point in my life.
It was unnecessary. Don't you know what, fellas? Because you know what it is? They're trying to get in your head because we're going to play this basketball game at some point, and they're trying to get in your head. They're trying to talk through the media to you. And I'm not having any of this.
By the way,
Draymond Green. I'm Draymond Green here. I'm sticking up for my teammates here.
Did you those guys, all the swag they have when they challenge us to this basketball game, they got awful quiet, Bone, when I took a shot at MJ on their show. Did you hear when I took a shot at MJ? They were talking about, yeah, the Rockfish tournament, and he reeled in this 25-pound dolphin fish. But the problem for MJ and his Catch-23 boat is they've had to release a lot of stuff because they've got the wrong type of fish. They've reeled in the wrong type of fish. And I said, MJ's reeling in the wrong type of fish. I said, that reminds me of his time when he was running the show, calling the shots and personnel.
I mean, you can hear a pin drop. They didn't even want to be caught laughing. Why can't we have thrown Frank Kaminsky back in the water back in the day? That big old seven footer.
Von Leigh, throw that big old fella back in the water. Not the right type of player we're looking for. But anyway, it's always fun to go on there, man, and get our radio mugs on TV. Those guys are good dudes, and we appreciate that. I did miss Boney a lot of the second half of this game, though, because I was going there, and it doesn't appear ultimately, I missed a classic. Chris Middleton, man, puts up 38. And at the end of the second quarter, the Nets got close, Middleton went on a run. End of the third quarter, Nets got close, Middleton went on a run. And then the Bucks, as a team, went on a run in the fourth quarter. But Chris Middleton was amazing last night, man. He really was.
Nets appeared a little gassed also. They maxed themselves out in the comeback of the – that goes into – Reggie Miller was ridiculous for the statement of sit out. But it makes sense on the surface of – You kind of know that Milwaukee backs against the wall. The Nets went all out and maximized themselves in the last game. That this result's not shocking. Nets desperately missed Kyrie Irving last night because of what you're talking about there with Middleton. Middleton, Giannis, and Drew Holiday combined for 89 points last night. Harden and Durant, without Kyrie, the third guy of that trio, they had 48 points last night. So the big three for Milwaukee scores 89. Harden and Durant, they go for 48. KD had 32 of those. In that last night, when all the Milwaukee guys are going and the Nets are minus one of their three guys, it was a big difference last night. Milwaukee was able to win the game by 15, Mac, and shot 7 for 33 from three-point land, 21%, and still won by 15.
Dude, in the third quarter, they were begging the Nets to get back into that game by shooting threes and clanking them. That seems to be their problem in this series. I know they shoot a lot of threes in the regular season. This is the thing Barkley's been hammering them for, and Kenny Smith. At some point, you got to realize we are killing them in the paint. Maybe we don't need to hoist threes. We'll see if they figure that out in Game 7. This series has held form, as crazy as it's been, Bone, with the injuries. Every home team has won so far, which means, according to that old proverb, the series has not actually started yet, but we're getting ready to play Game 7. And what if the Nets win Game 7? That means the series never started, but it ended.
What if in Game 7 Giannis attempts a foul shot and it lasts 5.5 minutes? What if he holds the ball? Did you see, Matt, I don't know if you were traveling or what, did you see James Harden get mad last night at the referee for the way he was handling it? Well, this was a big Twitter thing during the game last night. People were mad because everyone's starting the clock now on their phones and tweet out how long Giannis is at the foul line
for. It's annoying.
And it's coming in at about 12.5 on average. They're now letting Giannis do a whole pre-free throw routine when he doesn't have the ball. And James Harden last night's going, he got so mad that there was a free throw last night. The whole routine took like 40 seconds.
Oh, yeah, because he has to do the pantomime, as they were calling it on the broadcast. Yep. He got to do that before he even gets the ball. Have you ever seen someone take so much time on something and still be so crappy at it? Seriously. Like, bro, you ain't going to make it. You're going to shoot about 50%, dude. It doesn't matter if you do your whole routine for 20 seconds or if you just grab the ball and shoot it.
Sometimes Sergio Garcia swinging when he's off. He'll take a long time and then hit it.
It's the waggles, yeah. It's like guys with the waggles.
I've had relationships not long ago that have not lasted as long as Giannis does at the foul line.
It is absurd, man, for something that has a 50% chance of going in. But you got to give him credit last night. He didn't shoot 1-3. That's the way he's got to play until he actually works on his outside shot and develops one, which probably should happen. But until he does that, that's the way he's got to play. Attack, don't bother shooting those threes. And that's the way he played last night. So we'll have a Game 7 this weekend. Tonight we got two Game 6s between Philly and Atlanta and Utah and the Clippers. Clippers won't have Kawhi. So we'll see if Playoff P actually shows up and they can close that series out. And then Philly, it feels so weird for me to be rooting for a Philadelphia team, But I'd like to see my man Seth Curry have some success. And I don't want Ice Trey. Ice Trey's annoying. This dude is annoying. He plays for Atlanta, so I don't really like good players in Atlanta unless they play for the Braves. That's my only addendum to that rule. And he's got that cockiness, man. I'll tell you this. He's a show, though, isn't he?
He's an entertaining player. Keep your eyes off of Mac. I'm going to miss those games tonight. Don't laugh here. I'm part of a 3-day bachelor party this weekend. So
there you go,
party bone is back now. I'm not going very far. It's in Charlotte. So I'll be home, but it's 3 days of activities in Charlotte. So when you want a party in 2021, you call on Party Bone to show up.
Party Bone's going to be in the house. U.S. Open is going to be a big part of the show this weekend. First of all, I love the primetime golf. I love when they have a major on the West Coast, and you can get it in primetime. And Sunday, I noticed they're scheduled to wrap up by 8. I wish they'd go. They've had Sundays of majors, Bone, either PGA or U.S. Open, where they've gone to like 10 o'clock at night.
That's the Tiger, that's the Tiger 2008 knee injury one, when he's out there at primetime. Climbing the hills against Mark O'Meara, right? Was that who it was?
No, it was Rocco Mediate.
Rocco Mediate, I'm sorry. Yeah, when he was climbing the hills, that was a primetime one.
Yeah, those things are great, man. But they're going to go to 8 on Sunday. But tonight, primetime, they'll go to like 10 or so, or maybe 11 tonight. 10, I think, or 9 or 10 they're going to go to on Saturday. There's something cool about it being dark here, but you're watching the golf. And yesterday, man, I hate to say it because I'm not Team Brooksy Bone, but Brooksy had that Brooks Koepka start to the tournament. He's just got himself positioned where you feel like that dude's going to be a factor like he always is the whole way through. He's 2 shots back of the lead right now in the U.S. Open. The leader's Louis Oosthuizen.
Oosthuizen.
There we go. It's 4 under. Russell Henley, 4 under as well. Francesco Molinari is 3 under. So is Rafa Cabrera Bello. They are all 3 under. Cabrera Bello. What even, Flounder? You get the hell out of here, man.
Hey, the guy you mentioned there. Did you say Russell Hance is leading? Is that the guy from Survivor?
Russell Henley. Koepka's 2 under. Watch out for Schauffele, man. Schauffele is an underrated player. He's 2 under. John Rahm, the favorite of this golf tournament, sitting there at 2 under. It was Rory's in a decent spot. He usually doesn't play well lately in these first round of majors. He is only 1 under. It was not a good day for Phil. Phil was 4 over. And I think Phil had 1 birdie on the whole round, ended up 4 over. And he apparently was agitated because people were taking the camera phone shots of him as he was swinging.
Phil?
So you know how Tiger would basically want somebody bludgeoned if they would do that to him? Phil was getting a little irritated. And the third time it happened, the cops had to get involved. The cops had to get involved on the case. So didn't go well for Phil as he tries to get that elusive U.S. Open, man.
Phil didn't mind all the fans, though, at the PGA, did he, when he was getting swarmed?
Were they not shooting camera shots back then? I don't know.
Yeah, well, they lost Koepka in the crowd at one point. Yeah, he wasn't mad then, was he?
No, he enjoyed the fans then. He definitely did.
Do you like golf name snob Flounder, by the way, Mac, trying to correct you on your names here? What a purist this guy's turned out.
Flounder, how you become some golf name expert?
I think I got beat up yesterday after the show by Willie P, and I think some of the snobbiness may have rubbed off just a little bit.
Rafa Cabrera Bello.
There you go, Mackers.
That's Scott Baio's brother.
By the way, I'm pretty sure that Michael Bubble is the opening act.
Pony. Don't you be making fun of anybody.
Common knowledge knows it's Bublé, all right? Do your research before we come on this radio show again like that. And I apologize for my mistake yesterday. When we come back, a man that makes few mistakes, the voice of the Hornets, Eric Collins, talks about LaMelo Ball winning Rookie of the Year and some NBA playoffs. It's Mac and Bone, Sports Radio, FNZ.
Are you Yes, baby, the great Eric Collins, a treasure. I was talking earlier about the treasure that Price's Chicken Coop has been, 59 years in Charlotte, and it'll be gone, unfortunately, after this weekend. Eric Collins, we need to keep the man around. He is a treasure in his own right. And yesterday, we had a chance here on the Mac Attack with Mac and Bone. We had a chance to talk to Eric Collins. We wanted to get his thoughts on LaMelo winning Rookie of the Year. But first, he had to talk to us about the passionate style that he broadcasts with.
All right, it affects me, yes. It's the most important thing in my life, that 2.5 hour window. And I've gotten some strange looks over the years. I remember in Milwaukee a couple of years ago, and the Hornets were losing by 30. But Miles came down the lane and had this filthy windmill, and I lost it. And everyone was glaring. I was like, come on, look at the scoreboard, partner. But then I think they really thought about it. Like, you know what? That was really cool. So the reaction was worthy, and I think people eventually kind of came around to it.
On that play, on the highlights we just played there, there's one where I remember it specifically because I had to go back and try to investigate what you were saying. It was Rozier to Bridges on an alley-oop. That's the one where you say, ooh, and we were trying to figure out what you were saying. We came up with some form of hallelujah or something like that.
I don't know, man. That's the stream of consciousness. I have no clue.
I love it, though. The thing about it, EC, is honestly, is I feel like when your reaction is almost what we are having on the couch when we're, you know what I mean? Like, I almost feel like you go there to the extreme excitement levels that a fan does. I think we appreciate that.
Well, thank you, because, you know, it's trying to be authentic. And, you know, I've been here for 6 years now and seen a lot of basketball, and I'm glad that, you know, people have kind of come around to it. I remember when I first started, I was really worried because I used to have a job share out in L.A. With the Dodgers. And I would do about 55 games of the year, and Vin Scully would do the other 110. And the games that I would do, my goodness, people would just be up in arms. Oh, this isn't Vin. Oh, this stuff is totally different. Oh, I can't handle it. So when I came to town, I was really worried because Steve Martin, obviously such a legend in this town, and then what he did with the microphone. And I was a little bit worried about having to replace him. But the fact that he stayed in town and still was doing radio when I was doing TV, that kind of helped the transition a bit. But for the first couple of years, I think that people really, really were missing Steve. And well, they should have. But I'm glad that people have eventually come around.
Yeah, nice. We're talking to Eric Collins, voice of the Hornets here on the Mac Attack. He spent time with Vin Scully. I spend my time with Mac. So that's another win for EC right there on the scoreboard. EC, our guy LaMelo wins Rookie of the Year. In your opinion, what's the next step in the evolution of this young man to become not just a star, but a superstar here in Charlotte?
Well, to me, he crossed up two big things this year. Number one, he proved that he is a game changer and a franchise changer and a guy who's going to move the needle and affect winning for a long time to come here in Charlotte. That was huge. The other thing was started off with a negative, but I think it's eventually going to be a positive. The fact that he missed those 21 games with a wrist injury, you know, everyone's going to have it. You know, Michael Jordan early in his career broke his foot in his second season, had to deal with that, had to kind of figure out a way to mentally move forward after a difficult injury. I think the fact that LaMelo got that injury, which was a significant wrist injury, and he got it out of the way in his rookie year, I think he's going to understand keeping his body where it needs to be, rehab, listening to doctors, listening to himself. That's huge in the life of a professional athlete because everyone at some point has something happen to them. So LaMelo's already had that, and he's not even 20 years of age right now. And I think that those are two big things that he already has going for him going forward. I can't imagine. I keep thinking of Jason Kidd as a player when I see LaMelo Ball. Maybe not the same body type, but both with just extraordinary vision, leadership ability. Players gravitate towards him. He does things at elite level at all times at both ends of the floor. And Jason Kidd, I was looking at his numbers. He came into the league as a 21-year-old. And it took a couple of years for him to kind of figure it out. I think LaMelo is so much further evolved than we thought that he was going to be. I think he's got a chance to make a huge jump personally in numbers next year and helping the Hornets with more wins next year.
No, definitely. You're right. He's only 19. That's the crazy thing about it is he did what he did at that age. We're talking with Eric Collins, voice of the Hornets, about LaMelo Ball winning Rookie of the Year. EC, how do you feel about the Hornets team next season? I mean, I feel like if they, and they got almost $30 million of cap money to do it, if they improve themselves, you know, inside, and they just get a bit luckier with the injury bug – I mean, next year can be special. Are you? How do you feel about next year and what to expect?
You know, I keep looking at what the Atlanta Hawks are doing and saying, you know what, they're probably on a year and a half, you know, trajectory a little further advanced than the Hornets. But there's so many similarities. A dynamic young point guard. Obviously, they go about it in different ways. But you take your pick. LaMelo Ball, Trae Young, you talk about their futures. Both those guys, bright. Young players getting better. Kevin Huerter, John Collins, DeAndre Hunter. I think the Hornets have similar type of bodies and abilities already in their roster with the potential to get more with another lottery pick. The fact that the salary cap situation is opening up. The Hornets, of course, already have kind of their ace in the hole when they got Gordon Hayward last year. He's kind of the equivalent of, I don't know, take your pick, Danilo Gallinari, Bogdan Bogdanovich with the Atlanta Hawks. You know, the Hawks did it through the draft, and then they did it late in this process by getting a couple of free agents. And I see the Hornets with the cap changing and with them getting opportunities to add more bodies in here. I see the Hornets getting good quick. You know, maybe they get off to a slow start next year, but just like the Hawks, you could turn it around at a moment's notice when the guys get together, when they believe, and when they mature. So, yeah, the Hornets had a real difficult end of the year this past year. The last 2 weeks were not a lot of fun. But I don't think the Hornets are that far away. I think it takes another good draft choice, and I think it takes another a little bit of time and patience. But I really see the Hornets making big-time strides, and I see it when I watch the Atlanta Hawks and what they're doing every night.
And more to your comparison, Eric, they were right there with the Hawks until Gordon Hayward went down, right? There was a Sunday afternoon game where we blew the lead where we were right even with them. Now, they've gotten a little better since then, but we're not far off from that Knicks-Hawks seed range, right?
Oh, I'm totally with you on that. You know, I always tend to be kind of a prisoner of what I see, and I've never really seen the Trae Young that the rest of the world has seen because Trae Young generally struggles against the Hornets. Yeah. So I was never a huge believer in what the Hawks were doing. But yeah, whenever the Hornets played the Hawks in the last 2 years, to me, I was like, okay, yeah, I like these odds. Let's do it. You know, I'll take them on in Atlanta. But then they just got super hot tail end of the season. So maybe I need to kind of look with a little bit more of a discerning eye, but I totally think the Hornets are there.
Eric, are you enjoying this parity-filled postseason? It's different than usual. It's guys in and out for injuries, and some games are great that we've seen lately. Some are awful. Are you enjoying or watching all this postseason unfold here?
You know what? I'm a huge believer, and we've talked about this before. To me, it's not an opera. You know, it's not like you need to get your body ready for one performance. To me, a professional season is all about endurance. And it's longevity, and who can keep their body where it needs to be, not just for one particular game of Game 7 of the finals in tail end of June. To me, it's all about being able to play every single game. And if you can't make it there, hey, you're not the basketball player that you need to be. You need to do something with your body. You need to get luckier. I don't know. But to me, the guys who could be available every single game and give their team something every single ball game, they're the ones that are the best basketball players in the world. And I love this postseason. I love the guys who are going down left and right. I think it should be a battle of attrition. You know, I think everyone should give everything they have every single night and then, you know, think about the next night. But these injuries, to me, are just a sign of guys competing and bodies just not making it. And I don't think that the NBA, you know, it's difficult to make it through an NBA season and an NBA postseason. And when guys go down, I'm not letting LeBron James camp. When him saying, well, I knew this was going to happen, and this is what happens when you don't give elite athletes enough time to rest. I don't believe in that. I think elite athletes can adapt and figure out a way to keep themselves healthy and get themselves on the floor.
That is Eric Collins, voice of the Charlotte Hornets, talking about where this team's at. LaMelo winning Rookie of the Year. He lost me a little bit, Bone, when he started talking about the playoffs. Like, I get your point when you ask the question. Are you enjoying the fact that there is, it feels like more parity, right?
Yeah.
Feels a little more wide open. We have some new teams involved in the mix. And that,
but does it get to be almost too much with the injuries where it's almost a little bit unstable?
Yeah, I like the new teams being involved, but so many injured stars. I can't look at that as some sort of good thing. And I also can't look at it, Bone, as a coincidence that all these injuries have happened to stars and it is the most jammed in season. Right, that they've ever had. And of course the NBA is not going to address that. They're not going to admit that. And I guess, Bone, next year the move that they're looking to do is to get back on regular schedule, but that means the offseason is going to be short again if they try to get going in late October.
The time period that we saw this year is what they kind of want it to be all the time. Now, obviously, they would space it out better. They would love to start around Christmas and roll this thing into July. So the actual time period now, I think, is what the NBA kind of wants. I think they want to move away from the October to mid-June. I don't know how you go about doing that now. I also don't know how you go about what you're talking about. How do you start up in October again? I don't know. And then you got the Olympics this year as well, too, by the way.
Yeah.
So some
Olympics
players are going to be tired in October.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Imagine that. You can only get two. If they do try to go back in late October, you only get a couple of months of rest, and some of that time is going to be spent at the Olympics. Could we run into that same thing again next season? So I don't know, man. But I'll tell you this. The different teams, the lack of like a dominant team, it has made it more entertaining. But then again, let's face it, Bone. If the Nets were completely healthy, if Harden was himself, if Irving was out there, maybe it would not feel wide open at all. So maybe the injuries to the Nets are the only reason this thing is wide open.
Forgive me for being naive here. I just haven't seen it. Do we know the status of Kyrie? Like, how long is he out for? Do we have any update on him?
I hadn't heard anything. I was listening to one of the national, like, just talk shows.
Yeah.
And they were speculating, hey, could he try to, like, you know, one leg, almost like Isaiah Thomas did in the finals one year against the Lakers. He scored 43 with a messed up ankle. But, like, they were kind of wondering if he's going to give it a go. But there hasn't been any word yet on his status.
Wonder if he maybe gives it a go for more inspiration and juice, more so than performance. Maybe just his presence out there kind of Willis reads this thing a little bit. Maybe that's what he tries to do. I don't know. I haven't heard a word about him, though, to be honest with you.
Yeah, we'll see, man. I guess I'm done talking about it. But
we just had a moment here that in my six, I'm on year 17 now. I'm into year 17. I've not seen Flounder. Can we get that on tape, please? Mac just ran out of things to talk about. Normally, I just say something and he goes, I can't believe what. Mac, stop talking.
I've got to take a break. I'm actually doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to shut up right now so you can send it a break, but I never do it. So Bone was in complete and utter shock.
I just passed out from the shock.
My heart's beating fully right now. I feel like I just watched a Hallmark movie. I'm so full of love and hope. When we come back, we go around the NFL. Some news and notes. Little nuggets. Mac, some Friday NFL nuggies here on the Mac Attack. It's Mac and Bone on Sports Radio FNZ.
Sports Radio FNZ, Mac and Bone hanging out with you here. It is a Friday in June. We're headed into a Father's Day weekend. Everybody out there, dads, have a happy weekend. Treat your dads right, everybody. I will give my gift today, Bone, to the dads in the listening audience, and it will start at the end of this segment. I have, because I am, my kids always roll their eyes at my dad jokes at the house, and I am going to give to the fathers out there a Father's Day present today. We will unveil one at a time my top five dad jokes. To all the dads that want to use them. Yeah,
you're
five.
You're going to do a segment like five at once?
No, we're going to scatter them throughout the show because I want every hour to get a dad joke. You know what I mean? That they can use for their kids and stuff when they get home. You don't like this idea?
I just don't know the execution of this plan. You know, I'm a father too. Do I count as Father's Day for being Mabel's dad? Because, you know, I'm not a father of a human, Matt, because that involves actual physical contact. But I have produced a 70-year-old dog, though.
There you go. Hey, there you go. Maybe Mabel will get you a present this weekend. But
she left one in the street yesterday.
My first of my top five dad jokes coming up at the end of this segment. But we got to get some NFL tidbits out there. And see how this goes. We'll start with the Panthers. Terrace Marshall, wide receiver for the Carolina Panthers, signed yesterday to a deal. And now the only worry with him is, will he be ready to go full tilt when they start training camp? They've been kind of you know, babying him a little bit, kind of letting him take it easy and going slow with him after he had the arthroscopic surgery in January. Hopefully, Bone, he'll be ready to go by July. But the Panthers now close. I think it's like two guys left now, close to inking the whole class.
It was knee surgery, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what
good,
it was.
Good to get him back in. He's also in a good spot, too, because there's so much receiver depth around him that he's not – I don't think he's expected to come in and just blow the doors off things right away. He's got Robbie, DJ, David Moore, so Marshall can sort of be brought along at a pace that suits him here early in his first season.
Boney, also, as far as the Panthers go, I want to point out this as well with their scheduling. They've got literally – nothing that's going to happen for them, Bone, until training camp. Yesterday, no media there, no practice. It was just kind of like a final conditioning test to see where these dudes are at. But the Panthers are basically going to go radio silent, which kind of sucks. This is it, the quiet time before the storm of training camp in Spartanburg. So that will happen, obviously, at the end of July. And it was announced this week by the NFL that there will be fans allowed at training camp. The only downside is fans will not be allowed to get within like 20 feet, any closer than 20 feet to players. So it's not going to be where you can get autographs of the players, but at least you will be able to be at training camp because that's something that we missed last year.
Yeah, you can be around your fellow fans. You can have your normal experience out there in Spartanburg. It's just not going to involve a lot of that player interaction of handing over helmets and footballs and all that. That'll come in time, but not this year. You can't get your Sam Darnold autograph this year. He'd have to throw it back to you, Mac. He'd have to throw the thing back to you. That would have to happen this year. You go ahead and make your jokes on that.
I ain't saying it. I'm saying it.
I set you up for a joke.
Sam. I'm not doing
that joke.
No, my joke's coming up at the end of the show. By the way, people already trying to compare my jokes to Preppy's jokes. This is, I was telling dad jokes before Preppy was even born, man. Before those thighs even grew, Boney.
So let me
have my time.
You were telling dad jokes in college.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
All right. Well, that explains a lot.
Sadly, I was. All right. Mac and Bone with you, Sports Radio FNZ. Did you see who CMC took a shot at on Twitter? You see this thing?
That.
Well, you know how one of his brothers used to play at Nebraska and transfer.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And didn't he transfer twice?
Did he transfer twice this offseason?
Yeah, Louisville and then now with
Louisville.
Rice.
Yeah, Louisville and then Rice. Well, Scott Frost was doing an interview the other day and kind of went off on a long thing about the problems with the transfer portal, right? Every coach, man, anything that makes their job harder, makes them work harder, and isn't all about them, they seem to have a problem with. So he's doing that whole routine, and Christian McCaffrey took it as, because it was like the day that his brother transferred to the second spot and to Rice, and McCaffrey took it as, like, that was a veiled shot at my bro. So he got on there and started ripping him for being one of these coaches that truly does not care about players and just kind of took a shot at him. So we have a Christian McCaffrey, little Scott Frost dust up on Twitter, Boney.
Mac, do you think Scott, is he going to last at Nebraska? So much hype, and we thought right away people thought he was going to turn that bad boy around. I'm not sure Nebraska's ever going to be what they were, especially in the Big Ten Conference. They're kind of like the Indiana of football, aren't they? Great tradition back in the day during a certain time period. They were that program. I don't think Indiana basketball and Nebraska football are ever going to reach the heights they did when I was younger, and certainly you were younger as well.
Yeah. I know they used to get all those corn-fed linemen to go there. But, like, you think about it nowadays, where kids want to play, the SEC, right, where the weather's nice. It's just, I don't know. It seems like a tough sell, man. Like, unless you have this amazing base of talent right there in the Midwest, it feels like a majorly tough recruiting sell.
The corn-fed linemen, they go to Wisconsin. They go to Iowa. They're at other Big Ten schools. Like, the guys that you would think of Nebraska football back in the day, yeah. Wisconsin's got them all, or Iowa, or all the Big Ten schools. All those big corn-fed players are around them, not at Nebraska. Anyway,
so
that's
you know,
a Nebraska rant.
You know what, Scotty Frost? Stop taking shots at your former transfer, CMC's bro, and try to figure out how to get the corn-feds back there. All right? That's what you need to do.
Officially go Lock City on something?
Yeah.
First Lock City on the show. Scott Frost will be fired by the end of the season.
Wow.
No chance. No chance he makes it there down, in Nebraska. Lock it down.
How about that? And I wouldn't argue with it. I would not argue with that notion.
I like Flounder taking control here, throwing out lock cities before we do.
He's bold. Flounder's bold today, baby. Mac and Bone with you, Sports Radio FNZ. Let's get to some NFL kind of around the league stuff. Did you see what happened? Speaking of taking shots, did you see what the mayor, Mayor Lightfoot, in Chicago said to the Bears in a statement?
Yeah.
The Bears apparently put in a bid to buy the land from the old Arlington Racecourse. It's Thoroughbred Racetrack outside, in the suburbs outside Chicago. They want to, if they get it, they want to consider putting a new stadium there. It would be outside of the city of Chicago. Right? They've been Soldier Field in Chicago for years. Well, Mayor Lightfoot then put out a statement about it. You know, it's most of it's typical political stuff about whatever's going on. Whatever. And then it ends with just a verbal, a verbal dagger. Mayor Lightfoot at the end says, "We would like it if you would just worry about finally beating the Packers and trying to find a way to become relevant in the NFL."
It's the mayor. Oh, the mayor of the city.
That was cold, man. It's like, how dare you consider leaving the city? Let me remind you, you ain't even that good. Oh, that was good stuff.
Could
man.
You imagine that if that stuff. Happened here, if the mayor went after the Carolina Panthers, David Tepper and the Panthers? Don't worry about your stadium. Win some football games.
Dude, our politicians are too scared of Tepper, right? There's no way that Mayor Lyles or any politician would take a shot at David Tepper. David Tepper, keep in mind, too, you don't want to mess with. Like, he built that revenge home. Remember that revenge home that he built?
Yeah.
He bought it from the guy that fired him or whatever. And you don't want to mess with David Tepper. But apparently Bears ownership, not as threatening to
it
the
would
politicians
certainly,
in Chicago.
It would carry the Mac attack here on Sports Radio FNZ if Vi Lyle said, "Worry about your left tackle. I'll worry about the stadium, sir."
No. As a matter of fact, I wish he would say that, actually. It would give us some good material. But it's probably not a good idea representing the city of Charlotte if you want to keep things cordial. How about this one, Bone? And I hate to do this to you, Bone. It's time for NFL vaccine talk. I know this is your least favorite subject to discuss in the whole wide world right now. But
when you do this, I pull out my college football preview magazine. I'm going to read right now about Georgia Southern. Go ahead.
A couple NFL players fired shots at their own union for agreeing to the protocols on vaccine players and unvaccine players. I mean, this is as close as the NFL can come to mandating vaccines without doing it, right? Because they can't do that legally. You can't tell somebody you got to get a vaccine. I think that would be a problem legally if it ended up in court. But what they're doing is they're making your life so much better if you get vaccinated. Right, in terms of hanging out outside the facility, you can't really do that at all. If you don't have the vaccine, you got to wear a mask. You got a daily test. Do it every day if you're not vaccinated. And Cole Beasley went on a Twitter thread rant against union yesterday, just ripping his union for approving this. He says, "We didn't get a chance to vote." And also Joe Mixon, running back from the Cincinnati Bengals, went off on this as well. I don't know what to say, man. It's like, I don't blame the NFL. They're trying to keep people without getting the virus so they don't have to sit people out and so that their season is the most normal possible. Coaches like Matt Rhule want you vaccinated because they want a normal football operation where everybody is in the meetings together and everybody's in the weight room together, because you can't do those things if you're not vaccinated. So I don't begrudge the NFL or coaches for trying to push players to get vaccinated. Once again, it's a player's personal choice if they don't want to do it. I don't understand really the reasons why they're not, but it's I understand why the NFL Bone is doing this, and I understand why the coaches are kind of pushing them in that direction.
I understand it all, and I understand the choice and the option. At the same time, what do you say to your teammates that you might let down here along the way, that you can't fully be a part of stuff, you can't be fully engaged in all the activities and everything you want to do as a football team because you're making a choice? You don't, at some point, Matt, don't you owe it to those other guys on the roster that are blood, sweat, and tears and putting everything they have into a football season, and you're making a choice that could affect them, either whether you either you miss games or you're just not as active around the team for the reasons that you laid out there. At some point, don't you kind of owe it to your teammates? Won't the teammates look at you and be like, come on, bro, we need you out here. We need you fully in this thing, man. What are you doing here? Isn't it kind of letting down your teammates a little bit?
Yeah, you wonder how it's going to be viewed by players to get vaccinated.
If they said that we're going back in soon enough, but like if they said like, all right, Max got to be vaccinated for you guys to go back in and do the show regularly, and Max said, no, I'm not doing it. Wouldn't you kind of feel like I'm letting down the rest of my guys here?
I mean, I would. It's just it's hard for us, you and I, to get into that mindset of being so apprehensive about the vaccine because you and I both did it. You know, we both believe it's the right way to get back to normalcy. I love going to the stores without masks now. I just, you know what I mean? I love feeling like we're back to normal. And so I can't even relate. You know, there's plenty of people, Bone, that will text us. They will relate to Beasley, you know, and they will relate to Joe Mixon and some of these other guys that are leery of it, like Sam Darnold. I can't relate to it. Ultimately, it's a team choice. Ultimately, it's an individual choice, but they do play a team sport. By the way, Flounder, I need my music. I need my dad joke music, baby.
Music?
Yeah. Hit me with my dad joke music, Flounder. Set this up. All right, so, Boney. I need my song here. Where's my song at? Boney. We have... Oh, here we go.
What is going on?
All right, so this is my number 5 dad joke. I'm going to count down my dad jokes throughout the show. 5 to 1, Bone. And... I love my daddy song. This is going to be, Boney, the gift to all the dads. Use these things this weekend and torture your children. All right? You ready for my first joke, Boney?
No.
You ready for my first joke? All right, here's my first joke. Bone, I used to work at a bank, but I lost my job. You see, a woman asked me to check her balance, and I pushed her over.
How many more do we have?
That's the number five best.
The number five best dad joke right there, baby. No.
When do we have? When's 4 coming up?
You guys are gonna stymie me.
Yeah, I think we should just stop it right there.
Would you rather have Mac do dad jokes or me just read bios of some college football team for my magazine over here? What about Army this year, Osborne? I called him Osborne. What did I call him Osborne for?
You're all
Flounder. I mean,
what is happening right now?
He's been gone for 4 years.
Bone's disheveled right now. That dad joke's got him thrown off. See, Boney, she asked to check her balance, right? She meant bank balance, but I took it as, like, your balance standing up, so I pushed her. She fell
down. I'm checking our ratings for this segment right now.
I'm telling you, I have 4 more dad jokes throughout the show, everybody. Dads, New Balance-wearing crew, you're going to have some material this weekend for 5
It can only go up from here, guys.
All right. When we come back, we're going to talk some Panthers. Bonus checking out every preview magazine he can. Wait until you hear about the magazine that thinks so little of the Panthers. We'll explain the details. Could they really be this bad of a football team that this magazine says they will be? What is this Panthers team floor? We'll talk about it on the Mac Attack Sports Radio FNZ.